I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Johnson, and I'm joined by the three-man weave. We've got DJ Pihowski from Scratch and Tron Carter from No Laying Up. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you, Andrew.
It's good to be weaving.
Always be weaving.
Yeah, Tron, it's been a little while since you've been on the pod. Kind of curious. It was a big weekend for you and Bryson. Would love to hear your thoughts on what transpired.
Well, first of all, I feel like my absence from the pod coincided with our trip to Fishers when I proved myself to be an elite amateur and beat you on the golf course. And you just can't handle it. Yeah, the John Deere fifth major.
By the way, Tron beating you at Fishers, we don't have to talk about your guys' golf games because no one gives a shit, but Tron beating you at Fishers is like Bryson missing like eight straight cuts and then coming out and knocking off a win. Very similar.
Very.
Bryson were both elite amateurs.
That's true.
I wouldn't say I am an elite amateur. I'm a middling amateur.
Fledgling.
Let's be honest, you say you're an elite amateur pretty often.
So anyways.
Moving on.
Moving on. Bryson.
So, first of all, fifth major. Good week. Course was great. I felt the greens were a little bit slow on the weekend, but we're not going to nitpick.
What was the weather like? Did they have a lot of rain early in the week?
Early in the week, tons of rain. Hammered.
Yeah, actually, you guys got crushed in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, it was a good week. Charles Howell III came out firing. Honestly, Bryson wasn't even on my radar screen to start Sunday. Like, I thought he was just going to – so Randy's been just pumping Bryson for probably 12 weeks now. Just, hey, guys, like, Bryson, he's coming. And – all of us are like, you're insane, dude. Like,
what's the bet every time he misses a cut?
Every time Bryson misses a cut, Randy has to watch one or two episodes of The Wire, which he's like always refused to watch. So he's been watching a lot of episodes of The Wire. He's through like two seasons, like the Sobotkas and everything. So finally, like, you know, Bryson just comes through. I took a nap on Sunday afternoon. And I just figured, like, and then I kind of checked my phone, and like Rogers was running away with it. Where I was like, I mean, like, even Patrick Rogers can't miss putts and choke this away. Sure enough, Bryson just comes through and comes out Dukes of Hazzard, and he shot 30 on the back nine. And my Bryson thing isn't so much. I don't think the guy's a fraud. Like, he's obviously a great player. He's been, NCAA champion. USAM champion. I'm not sure he can play outside the Midwest. He hasn't proven that yet. I mean, he won at Erin Hills. He won at Olympia Fields. He's won in Cleveland. Those are pretty much his three big wins. But he's just – he can't stop talking about how smart he is and how unique his mindset is and everything. Just go play, man. I've said this on pods before. Just go play. Like, quit trying to actively piss everybody off. And, like, he doesn't have a whole lot of friends and allies out there.
So here's the counterpoint to that, I think, is, first of all, I'm all in on Bryson. Not in the traditional way, I don't think. And I think when a lot of people say, like, oh, I love that guy, I think what they mean is, like, man, I'd love to sit down and, like, have a beer with that guy. And that's not what I'm saying at all. Like, we seem like very different people. I don't know that we would
be like, yeah, the hops and the spirit.
I don't know that we would necessarily get along, but I absolutely love just the circus that comes with it. And as far as, like, entertainment goes, like, watching him make a backline charge rivaled, like, Bubba or Poulter or any of those guys, Patrick Reed, any of those guys being in the mix. And just from a pure, like, golf fan entertainment standpoint, it, like, almost doesn't get any better. Like, it's building, like, imagine if, you know, if he gets in contention, like, actually when he was in contention at the Masters, like, it was awesome. Like, and who cares, like, what he's doing or any of that stuff. Like,
I mean, it's just, I'm in agreement that golf needs a villain. You brought up all these villainous characters.
Your word, not mine.
I don't know. You brought up Poulter, Reed, Baghdad Jerry. I mean, all these guys.
Well, and so here's the other thing. Is to a degree, all the, like, science stuff, all that's, like, is not his fault. And I think it's a bit of him getting sucked into the narratives you guys are always so happy to talk about, because I think what happens is, like, I mean, you see it, and it's fair questioning, but, like, because that's, like, what people know about him and that's what they want to hear. But, like, he wins and the first question is about, like, ah, you love science.
No, but he
tell us about science.
He indulges isn't that the crazy? Shit out of
he
it,
does.
Man.
He does.
Like, he goes so over the top and so beyond the pale on some of his answers where it's like, man, just say, you know what? I'm working on some things right now.
I'm in the lab, just leave it at that. That's what I love, though, is if he did that, everyone would be like, man, what a dick. Like, he's so standoffish. And, well, like, that's what he's doing. I love just leaning into it and just completely being himself. Well, yeah, lean in.
Well, a lot of traditional media complain about Dustin Johnson and his lack of responses in interviews, and Bryson is just the complete opposite. He gives you too much.
Yeah, I would way rather.
No, but I feel like he does it in a way that, instead of being informative, he is very Don King self. He's like a mix between Don King and, like, Albert Einstein.
Don King and Albert Einstein.
It's like Bryson DeChambeau and the art of self promotion.
Yeah, it's a book I would read.
That's what I'm saying.
So, Tron, I think.
Art history teacher wrote a book called Booker T. Washington and the Art of Self-Promotion. So,
Volume 2.
I could do Volume 2.
Andy, first of all, talk about, like, here's the one thing that does get glossed over a little bit, I think, is, like, his game is so good. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, he mashes the ball. He destroys the ball, and, like, he's just struggled so much with his putter, but he seems to be fine at something. He's going to win a major championship. Like, I like would say that of young players outside of John Rahm, like, Bryson DeChambeau is going to win a major. Like, I'd put him up there with almost anybody else that's major free under 23, 4 years old.
The thing that also not a lot of people know is that all his irons are the same length.
Or are they?
Or are they? Yeah, you want to fill this in on some, there's some
it was on Golf WRX.
There's somebody, some truthers out there.
Somebody tweeted that at me. You're like, man, this is, like, not a whole lot of people know this, but most tour players, their irons are the same length. That was just a scorching take.
I don't know what's a darker place.
That's like the chemtrails of golf conspiracies.
Somebody said jet fuel can't melt steel shafts.
Here's a question. What's a darker place, Golf Club Atlas's message boards or Golf WRX's message boards?
Golf WRX, because that stuff, like, doesn't matter. So, like, Golf Club Atlas, like, that stuff's going to be around in 50 years. Like, those courses, nobody's going to be talking about the title or the TaylorMade R9 driver in, like, 6 months.
Yeah. I'm trying to think which group. I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. One of the groups has more to lose, and I'm not sure, like, which one it is.
Well, it's like obsolescence. The one group, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
the equipment game is just a game I cannot even try to pretend like I keep up with.
Yeah, I can't get into it.
All right, Andy, I got a question for you. So, one of the most interesting things I gleaned from Bryson's post-round interviews and everything was the fact that he was chasing a little bit more distance. Like he was chasing another 10 or 15 yards of distance. And it seemed like he said he got that figured out, like kind of got past that and then got everything sorted over the last 3 or 4 weeks. If he's so long, like why is he chasing more distance? Is he like the cat? He just can't.
I think that's what everybody does. It to a certain extent. I mean, you get to tour and then you think you need to be better. Or you watch what's happening with DJ and you're like, oh, he hits it so far. I need to hit it like that. I mean,
but Bryson's freaking long. I mean, he was long at the USAM. He was long at the Masters. Like,
I don't know
where does he fit? Like, I don't know this, but like, where does he fit among tour players? You know,
I think
he's like ballpark.
Above average. I mean, I don't have the stats right in front of me.
It's but like 80th percentile, right? Like 75th, 80th percentile.
But you know, I think he's got to be above. So I'm not sure where he is, but you get to tour and you see these low scores, and he probably looked at it and said, "I need to get more wedges in my hand." You know.
Yeah,
he was looking at the data.
He was, yeah. You know.
Call those insights.
Although he didn't have enough data because he wasn't making enough cuts.
That's true. He was light on data compared to his competitors. That's why he needed to get playing
better. Big disadvantage.
Yeah. Needs bigger sample sizes.
You know, another big winner was Rafa Cabrera Bayo. Finally won.
Yeah. All in on that guy.
That was awesome. I don't know a ton about him other than, you know, I mean, I've watched him play over here, just all the WGCs and majors and, you know, when he went deep at the match play and all that stuff. But, like, he was kind of sneaky falling into that. Like, that was the most interesting stat as soon as he won was just knowing, like, that the stat was going to be everywhere. Like, yeah, when was the last time that he won? Because I couldn't even picture it. And it was, whatever, 5.5 years.
Are you saying he's like a poor man's Lee Westwood?
He had three.
The economy of Spain is kind of low. That's the other reason he's kind of the poor man. I think he's all the player Lee Westwood is. Deep globalist
no,
there.
No. God, you keep diminishing Westwood, man.
It's
Cabrera. How about Westwood versus Cabrera Bayo this week? Any takers?
No, you've got your
Any
boy.
Any listeners out there, holler at me.
How about Westwood versus
Leishman's already a lock. Leishman's already a lock.
I don't mean to skip ahead here because I think we need to talk about the Utah Championship on the web tour. But can we talk about Porter and where he pulled his odds from on his British Open preview column?
I didn't see him.
So he pulled it and he had – who did he had? He had somebody at a 75-1 odds.
The dictator. Roberto Castro.
Oh, Castro, yeah. He had Roberto Castro as a sleeper at 75-1 odds. On my sports book, Roberto Castro was 550-1.
You know,
yeah, that's house money there, I think.
Castro is an interesting character because he made the Tour Championship last year, and two years ago he made the Tour Championship and lost his card. You know,
he's gonna do it again.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to do. Like, I don't know if anybody else has ever done it.
Legitimately, I'm not exaggerating here. I think if you could have any player on the podcast, he would be probably in my top five.
I love Castro. Shout out to the whole support.
Yeah,
I'm not saying anything bad about the man. It's just unbelievable that it's gonna. It might happen again to him.
It's kind of like a reverse, or it's kind of like a Camilo, a full Camilo,
a season long Camilo
in a full season and doing it multiple times. It's crazy.
It's nuts. I mean, Trent, we'll move on to the Open Championship now that we got there.
Well, all right. Lastly though, I want to set the record straight on Bryson. I've done this before. Bryson's got game, people. I'm not disputing that. He's got game. He just, it's like he wants to be different. I'm cool with being different. Do you. You do you. Just don't tell me about it at every turn.
Every time you're asked about it.
No, he doesn't. Anytime. Even when he's not asked about
it. It's not like he's like...
Speak softly, carry a big stick.
I don't know.
Carry a single length big stick.
That's a good one.
Hey, our stat guy just sent me a message.
Tony Reale.
Shout out Justin Reale.
Bryson is 38th in driving distance this year.
That's nuts.
It's like 70th percentile.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And he's averaging 300 off the tee. It's crazy. I don't know why that guy would need to chase the yards. But it could have been in the data. So.
All right. Well, just here's what I'm going to say. Every time from now on, this is all I will ask. You're entitled to your opinion here. I'll defend to the death your right to express it.
It's a free country, DJ.
Every time you see something that like drives you insane about him, just trace it back and say, like, why is he saying this? Is he saying this unprompted, or is he saying this because he was asked about it again and again?
But he has no discretion about it.
I don't know. I think he's like...
lacks discretion.
I think he is like... I don't know. I think he's I think he is just trying to embrace his uniqueness and just trying to be him.
Oh, he's certainly trying to embrace his uniqueness.
So, which I'm into. I'm for it.
I'm out on what his sponsors do to him, but the guy is just a total weirdo. You know?
Yeah.
He's just different.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I was lost. Like it was like even when people weren't interviewing about stuff, and they would ask him about why do you use single length irons? You're like, well, I shine my name left-handed backwards.
He's toned that stuff down, I think. I think a lot of it is just like being a 22-year-old like millionaire that everyone is like fascinated with. And like there's got to be something that like none of us have done that except Tron.
Almost kind of a
Tron internet celebrity is the only one that has gone through this. And it's hard to like I mean it's got to be hard to like rein it in when people are like pumping your ego all the time.
So who's
like a big personality that like totally owns it that you like? Like who's the model
in golf or just in general?
Both.
Grayson Murray. No,
there you
go. I'm kidding. That's the thing. I don't know if there is a blueprint because it's I don't know. I mean, you know. I would have.
It's a hard question. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, that's a very valid question and a good question. But I just think there's, you know, I mean, you could look at Ricky and say, all right.
Phil would be my only answer.
Yeah. But, like, Ricky's a good, like, he does things his own way. I don't know if he's got that sort of quirky personality, but he does things his own way and he can, you know, he's done it in a way that hasn't offended the shit out of his peers.
I think Phil's the model for this. I think Phil's like old, distinguished Bryson. If you think about the shit that he says and the stuff that Bryson says, they're not that different.
Was Phil saying that shit in like 96, though?
Yeah.
95,
yeah,
96?
And he alienated everybody. And everyone was like, God, that guy's like a little much.
I get the sense that like Phil has a ton of self-awareness, too.
And face awareness.
And he always has, whereas... I don't get the sense that Bryson has even remotely the same level of self-awareness.
Maybe it comes with time.
Fair.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is that you're in on the Ricktator. Randy's out on the Ricktator.
Oh, Randy hates the Ricktator.
You're out on Bryson, and Randy's in on Bryson.
Randy being in on Bryson makes me even more in on Bryson.
I'm surprised Andy's not just... beating the Bryson drum.
I've got tapes
out there.
I've got tapes. He's texted me today. He's all in on Bryson. He's just laying in the weeds right now.
Just contrarian Andy is like, oh, my contrarian brother. contrarian revolutionary.
I'm realistic. He's really good at golf. I'm not in on Bryson. Like DJ said, I'm never going to go have a beer with Bryson. That's something I'm not interested in doing. But I don't really enjoy watching him play golf either. I don't think I'd.
It's just a little sluggish.
The way he dresses.
That was my one thing about Rogers was man, I feel like he should have gotten like two strokes subtracted from his score for having to play with Bryson and Zach Johnson on Saturday. That was absolutely brutal.
That'd be an interesting rule.
No, and then I fired off a take. They were like Bryson took like 90 seconds to line up a putt. I think he lined it up six different times, got the line exactly right.
Epsom salt.
And then I was like, man, like, can we just like preemptively put these guys on the clock? And I fire off this take, and like no less than like 8 seconds later, they walk up to the next tee and they're waiting on the next tee. And I'm just like, delete.
Real quick flash poll for the group here. What would make players play faster? Them getting docked a stroke or other players gaining a stroke?
Other players gaining a stroke.
Would make them play faster?
Like the rest of the field or just the guys in their group?
No, just the guys in their group.
No, it can't be to the guys in their group because then you got to give the guys behind them. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's not a perfect system. To be honest,
no, it's the belt, man. You put the belt on. Sorry, right. Proposed this.
Speaking of the belt, let's talk about the Open Championship.
Yeah, Tron, you played Royal Birkdale a couple months ago.
I'm tough. So excited, man. All I can think is just like flighted two irons off tees. It's kind of a nondescript start, but man, like you get out to 6-7 to really the rest of the course. There's some just nasty par threes, but there's some serious course management involved too. It's a disciplinarian's course.
I hear driver might not be a popular club this week.
I think it all depends on. I haven't looked at the weather. I heard kind of offhand that it was supposed to be shitty later in the week. It's tough for me to judge because the wind was blowing the opposite direction when we played it. But I think it's all dependent upon the wind and, you know, the direction it's coming from. But I mean, even the holes that were downwind, you were like the par fives for us were downwind, the two par fives in the back. And like, it was goading you into being aggressive and going for it. And then you just get like, you hit it a little bit offline and you're lost ball. I mean, it was like, you gotta, that's why it feels really Spieth-y to me. I like Ricky. I like Spieth. I think DJ and I just took out second mortgages today to put on Streb. 350 to 1.
Does it favor right to left, left to right at all?
I didn't feel like it. And again, I think it comes down to the wind, but, mm-hmm. One hole that sticks out to me where it was like four or five, I think it was five or six. It's like a par four. And there's this, it's pretty nondescript. There's a lake on the right. And then there's a ton of bunkers up by the green. But somebody like DJ, if they're feeling frisky, they could pull out driver and carry one 335 and get lucky up by the green and put it on the green and have a two shot advantage over the field versus, but if that goes sideways, you're looking at six easily. So I feel like it's a, you know, it's all about discipline. And the other big takeaway for me was there's a lot of on the greens, a lot of the greens are elevated and there's these little like rivets in the side of the greens that these little runoffs that you really can't even see from the fairway, but they make the green a lot smaller than it looks to the eye before you play it. So I don't know. I don't think I've been this excited for a major championship in a while. This is going to be sweet. I think this is on like the level of, like, as far as interest in watching, it's on a level of like a Shinnecock for me.
Interesting.
High praise.
High praise indeed.
It's just a really good test of golf. I don't think it favors anybody.
I mean, you look at the past champions from there. You've got Johnny Miller, Peter Thompson won twice, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Tom Watson. I mean, pedigree. Yeah. Ian Baker Fitch won when he was really good.
I mean, he was really, really good.
Yeah.
Harrington was playing the best golf of anybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Where did this fall in like his line of majors?
Harrington?
Was this a
second?
Yeah.
So he'll be in the Hall of Fame. All the other guys are Hall of Famers.
Can we talk about Peter Thomson just being – so that was the big takeaway from going to England was, like, Peter Thomson being – sorry to sidetrack us here, but, like, everywhere we showed up, it was like Peter Thomson had won there before. And I was kind of, you know, I was kind of like the ignorant dude. I was like, man, like, I know about Peter Thomson, but –
No, probably two of the most underrated players in the history of golf are Peter Thomson and Tiger Woods, I feel like.
This is just an excuse for DJ to bring up the Tiger Woods is underrated.
No, it's just, you know, just staying consistent with my take.
Is Padraig underrated?
I think he kind of is. Thomson won 5 Open championships.
I know, that's insane.
Tom Watson.
And I feel like the Brits downgraded him because he was an Australian.
He's a prisoner.
He's a criminal.
An inmate.
He was a Florida State Seminole.
Thomson, I mean, it's just somebody you don't hear a ton about. I mean, Tom Watson is, like, beloved in the British Isles.
Yeah.
But Thomson wasn't as beloved.
No, Tom Watson play... He hasn't played. Has he played the Open in a couple of years?
No,
St. Andrews was his last one, right?
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah,
because he had that farewell, like dark and all that.
So those two both won 5 Open championships, which is
Where did Peter Thomson win?
He won two at Birkdale. He won his first and his last at Birkdale, and then. Let's see, where else did he win? I'd have to dive into these. I'm not going to dive into all these. We're done talking about Peter Thomson.
Sorry, everybody.
Don't like his chances this year.
That's another story for another day. Let's talk a little bit about Rory. Coming in, 2 missed cuts.
Struggling. 3 out of 4, right?
Yeah, 3 out of his last 4. Hasn't really been relevant in a major since his win at Kiowa.
You love that.
Lee Westwood's been more relevant in major championships since after the 2014 PGA Championship than Rory McIlroy.
It's the 2014 PGA, if you only count Fridays and Saturdays where the golf course was in the Eastern time zone. Lee Westwood's been way more relevant.
Hey, he's got a runner-up.
All right, here's the other – all right, going back to Peter Thomson, here's the other thing. The guy won 3 Open championships in a row, Birkdale, St. Andrews, Liverpool. Didn't win in 57, came runner-up at St. Andrews. So they played St. Andrews 2 out of 3 years. And then won the next year at Lifton and St. Anne's. So he won 3 out of 4 years, and the 1 year that he didn't win, he was runner-up. That's freaking strong.
Scrum.
It's a historic pace. Spieth was almost on that.
Underrated.
Nobody is saying he's not underrated.
Let's move on from the Peter Thomson take.
I'm going to war for Peter Thomson.
You got anything on McRib? Anybody?
I watched most of the Scottish Open last week, and he just... He looked like a kid trying to find his mom. He was lost at the mall. He was trying to find his mom. He couldn't. Like, I mean, I was, and he chalked it up to a simple fix of ball position and his stance. But he looked fine off the tee. He just couldn't, like, anything below an 8-iron. He just wasn't even remotely in the circle of trust with.
I didn't get to watch much of the Scottish Open, but it just seems like for the last 2 years, I know I've harped on this before, but it just always feels like it comes back to just missing, like, momentum putts.
Being able to grind.
Yeah, and he just, yeah.
The guys on the Euro Tour telecast were like, they were like, yeah, man, like, this is a big round for, like, I feel like everybody keeps saying every time you watch Rory, oh, this is a big round for Rory.
Totally.
Like, they said it at the Irish Open, they said it.
Go back to, like, when he was paired with Spieth in the last group at Augusta, and he just got vaporized.
Blown out to sea.
Blown out to Rays Creek.
A tributary.
The other thing I just noticed with Rory is, like, if you watch the way Spieth misses, a lot of times Spieth will miss short on the side of the green. That he's got a lot of space. It just seems like Rory regularly short-sides himself, and he's just in the worst places. He misses long a lot. He misses long and left. And then
so I think DJ and I are probably going to bring up the same thing here. Are you in the anti-JP chorus of...
Oh, that's not where I'm
like, there's this giant undercurrent of people, I mean, players, caddies, casual fans, knowledgeable fans, analysts, everybody's like, there's this groundswell of anti-JP sentiment out there to where they feel like he's constantly misclubbed. He's constantly... I don't have a read on him. I'm not there in the conversation. Like I don't know, but I feel like you may have a better read on it.
Sounds like many are saying that this is a problem.
many people are saying it's a problem.
It has the potential to be fake news though also.
Yeah. I mean until you're there, I think it's the player's job to hit the shots.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, does that mean JP was really killing it when Rory was the best player in the world and he was flagging everything and like,
yeah,
making every putt? Like, I don't know if I really.
Well, I think the other thing with Rory too is he's at what point? I mean, how many times has he changed equipment now in the last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't know when he switched from Nike to
three at least.
Yeah.
Four Titleist to Nike to Callaway to TaylorMade.
I mean, it's like at some point, like that's going to catch up with you just like an injury would, or just like it's just one more variable to consider.
I just don't understand the whole putter thing. Like he putted so well with the Scotty Cameron at the end of last year. Like he wins the Tour Championship, you know, he wins the FedEx Cup using that.
God, it feels like it was 5 years ago.
Well, so that's my thing with the whole equipment thing. And I know I can't, you know, I'm not like the best I don't give a shit about equipment.
Hey, I think we need to get a Golf WRX forum guy on here.
Someone should start a thread about Tron's equipment takes.
And B, Callaway pays us at no laying up. So, like, I'm not the most well-intentioned guy with equipment. And so, for me, if Rory felt like, all right, I like these irons I'm playing, I like the ball I'm playing, I love this driver I'm playing, that's great. But, like, the putter's kind of separate from all that, right? Like if you really like, I mean, I heard anecdotes of he picked up that Scotty Cameron putter again and was putting with it, and he was like, man, like it's like back, like being with an old friend, you know. And he was putting really, really well with it, and now he's using, you know, he's switching back and forth between a mallet and it just seems like,
yeah, I mean, having, what did he have, four putters out there on Saturday a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, and it's like, man, like if you're trying to, you know, if you're really about playing the best stuff and you can get paid for it too, but if you want to play the best stuff, then play the best stuff and don't worry about this equipment contract stipulates that I have to have that putter in the bag.
Yeah.
That's my take.
I think where I was going to go with it originally, and tee up Andy here if he wants to talk about it, is I think there's a growing one of my favorite conspiracy theories is maybe Rory's not strategic enough of a player. And if you look at his U.S. Open history and you look at like some of the tracks where he's played well, some of the tracks where he hasn't played well, what, you know, what does that say about the way that he plays? And like, you know, you kind of alluded to it, like at the U.S. Open this year. I know after Thursday, when you know all these big names just got completely ejected on the first day for kind of trying to play bomb and gouge, and it was kind of him, Jason Day, a lot of those guys. And I don't know. I'm curious if you think there's any weight there or not.
I don't know. It's interesting to think about. But you always think about what if golf, with technology the way it is, it's not possible to play at like the most strategic golf courses because their strategy's been rendered useless.
Right, but it's almost like when you have everything going, when you're just like flushing everything and
Tiger.
Yeah, I mean when you're just unconscious playing video
Tiger
game golf.
Tiger at Lithium, or it's like Tiger at Lithium when he was hitting two iron off every tee, and it didn't matter if he was 30 yards behind everybody because he was
right.
hitting but his short
when,
irons. That
when you're like playing, when you have that much control over what you're doing, like it's fine to play one way.
Yeah.
And as soon as you don't have total control over everything you're doing, it just seems like if you take the same lines, like it's so much easier to get just ejected and missing all the wrong spots and a lot of the stuff.
Well, your margin for error is a lot.
Yeah.
I think a good study is just if you could go watch a round of golf, you know, when you can get to see Rory play with Spieth. Because to me, I think they're the complete on the polar opposite levels in terms of, like, Spieth is the guy that you watch play and you say, how the hell did he just shoot 67? He was all over the place. So he didn't do any, like, he scraped it around.
Which that quote literally came from Rory.
Yeah.
And then when they played together in Augusta.
And then Rory's the guy that you watch and you're like, how the hell did he shoot 69? He should have shot 65.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because if you watch where Spieth misses, it's a lot different than where Rory misses.
It's a lot more cerebral, right? I mean, it's always well intentioned. It's always
he doesn't short side himself a lot, so it's a lot easier to get up and down.
But my question for you is that where Greller comes into where, because it's tough to constantly be thinking of your misses and not start playing defensively versus
I think
like that's kind of that fine line between. Hey, I want to miss in the right spots, but at the same time, I want to go with flags. I want to,
So this could be where the putting all comes into it, is that Rory's been struggling with his putter, so he feels like he has to hit it close to make birdies. Spieth, notorious for rolling in 20-footers and 15-footers, he doesn't feel the pressure to have to fire at flags to make birdie. I don't know if that's true, but that could be part of it.
Is the other thing too is Spieth, because I agree that's the ultimate kind of case studies in different spheres of the game, kind of Spieth versus Rory, and to a lesser extent like on the Euro Tour, Tomas Peters versus like a Matthew Fitzpatrick. But like I think it's also, by the time it's all said and done, Rory and Spieth, because Spieth's putter's cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say this year or in the last 18 months. Like, is that something where Spieth, the way that he makes his putts and the way that he kind of stacks them up in certain rounds, like Rory may make the same number of those putts, but he's either streakier with it and he's not doing it in the same scenarios. And he's doing it just kind of all stacking them up like late in a Sunday round, like, or, early on a Friday. I mean,
it's the whole psychology. I think when you don't putt well, and when you know, like Rory knows he hasn't been putting well, like it wears on the rest of your game through the,
you start pressing. Yeah.
You need to hit drivers further. So you need to set up, wedges that you can hit closer, and eventually you're going to make the mistake versus Spieth. I mean, he's won twice this year, Spieth, and he's been in contention. And a lot of times why he hasn't won more is because the putts just haven't fallen. But his process and understanding, hey, like I don't need to fire at every flag, yields him being in the hunt a lot. And I think, like anything, you can't make a lot of birdies without a lot of birdie opportunities. You can't win a lot of events without being in contention a lot.
Well, here's the other thing. Do you think Rory's held back by the fact that his driver is his strongest attribute? To where, that's what he feels like his advantage is, and if that's not firing on all cylinders, then there's not a whole lot of foundation there. Versus Spieth, it's like, if the putter is his strongest attribute, that's his foundation, and.
Right.
There's not a whole lot else built upon it.
With a bad putter, you can still shoot 69.
You're
with
not
a bad driver. You're gonna
you're not
shoot
as reliant
74.
Upon one putter or one club, because his putter can go cold and his ball striking is still good enough. Whereas if Rory's, you can only hit your driver so many times around,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you got to just, club in from there, and it's a different story. Versus,
that's what I think. I mean, you still see Rory beating up the par fives, and yeah.
It's just not a good area. If you want to win a lot of golf tournaments, it's not good to be struggling with your short irons and putter.
But coming back to Birkdale, I think this is why this is like the ultimate. I would bet on Spieth 10 times out of 10 if it was just Spieth heads up versus Rory at Birkdale, because I think it takes the driver out of Rory's hands on a lot of holes and on the holes that he's going to hit it. Yeah, he may be 30 yards ahead of Spieth, but Spieth's, you know, half wedge game is so good that I don't think it's that big of an advantage.
Yeah, it's a short course. It's only 7,100 yards. Yeah. So it's, and if it's firm and fast, like most of them play, it's not, you don't have to necessarily be a bomber to succeed here. It'll be,
there's a lot of blind tee shots. There's a lot of, you know, just really quirky shots that you got to hit to where, you know, you can't just bomb and gouge this course. You're going to get ejected. So
of the established guys that have won major championships, who's your guy's pick? Tron, sounds like you're Team Spieth.
For guys that have won before, yeah, Spieth, and then I got Harrington at 120-1, I think, last weekend before you.
That'd be so fun. I love him. I love Padraig.
Yeah. How about that follow through?
See, Padraig, all right. Here, let me just circle back to an earlier part of the conversation here. Padraig is also a guy that is long-winded, that is tinkering constantly, that's doing all kinds
but
of weird
lovable,
shit.
He's lovable, though. It's not like he's...
That's what
it's
I'm
not,
trying to get at. Like,
is it just different. Because of his accent?
No, he's not arrogant.
Sean's being reverse racist right now.
He's not arrogant. It's not about Padraig. He's just like,
all right,
searching.
Yeah, all right. Whatever.
So DJ,
I love Padraig, and I love Bryson. I mean, I was going to say Spieth, too, but that's because I pick him to win every tournament. But,
and he's due. I feel like he's been in the lab.
Yeah. Oh, dude. He's like...
He's hungry.
Yeah, exactly. You saw what he won with at Travelers. Like, as soon as he gets it going, I mean, yeah. he's going to blow people's doors off. It also feels like, I mean, I know this is just the nature of golf being played every week in multiple places, but it feels like Dustin is like the most underrated player in the world right now.
I feel like, yeah, he's really flying under the radar.
Yeah.
He doesn't, like, he was getting 4-1, 5-1 odds in tournaments.
Yeah.
4 months, three,
right.
three, 4 months.
And, ago. Like, the only, this is so funny with how it happens with golf, but, like, the only reason that he is, like, kind of quiet right now is just because he's, like, taking time off to, like, hang out with his kid. And, like, I don't know.
And he allegedly got pushed down the stairs, or he allegedly fell on the stairs.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to be up there. I think, like, him hitting, you know, 2, 3, 4 irons all over that place and just putting himself in good shape, like...
Because I think that's one of the underrated things about Dustin is how disciplined he can be in his game plan.
Yeah,
like
totally.
He hits a lot of 2 irons and three woods off tees where, you know, people just view him as some bomb and Gallagher, and he's not.
I'm going Sergio.
Yeah?
I like it.
Great.
You think he's still hungry?
Oh, I mean, the Open is the tournament that you expected him to win forever. Like, he always is in
it. Like
he hits it so good. He's never out of it.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You know, he's got the piano off his back.
So the other thing that worries me a little bit about Sergio is the greens. It's supposed to be pretty windy later in the week. The greens might be a little slower.
And just putting in the wind is hard.
So yeah. I think the wind actually diminishes putting skill because
just makes everything bad.
It's really hard to make long putts when it's windy. Yeah. And
yeah, but it's really hard to get lag putts close too.
Yeah. You end up having to make a lot of 8-footers.
That's what Sergio's great at, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
I'll tell you who going into the guys that haven't won, you know, we've had 7 straight first-time major winners. Lee Westwood's a great,
literally, you literally couldn't even putter. Finish the sentence without laughing. Yeah, he just looks rock solid over those three footers.
This might be Lee's last chance, last real good chance. I don't think he's going to be in the Masters next year. He's got to be in the top 50 in the world. And
I could see Lee getting on his horse and winning like one of those Rolex Cup events in Dubai or Turkey or something next year.
You know he's going to ball out at the Ned Bank Challenge next year.
Guys, I feel like the
Joburg Open.
I feel like a parent that's like divorced, and then we're getting into Leishman next, and like Andy's gonna shit on Leishman.
I never have shit on Leishman. I just have pointed out DJ.
I just think it's poor timing. Leishman just had a kid, and but he's, I don't know. I think of two irons off tees, and I think of that driving iron that Spieth has.
What about your boy Jason Day then?
Jason Day stinks. His ball flight's too high. He can't grind. He stinks. What about Ricky? What about the Rictator?
Totally.
I love Ricky.
I like that he didn't win last week.
Think that helps?
In Scotland. I think that helps immensely. You don't want to drain the reserves, man.
We didn't talk about Andy's boy, Romulus.
I mean, he blew everybody
away 2 weeks ago.
He showed that his game might be better across the pond.
I mean, the whole like
he's from across the pond.
Yeah,
I know. It's I mean,
I'm surprised you haven't done a deep dive on like his amateur career, him playing in the amateur, and
he won bigger events. I think he won the Spanish Am twice.
No, but I'm talking about the ones in the British Isles.
I don't think he played the Eisenhower Trophy 1 year. I don't think
he
won.
Did he play the amateur and like the English amateur or the Irish amateur?
I did a deep dive on Jon Rahm's amateur career a while ago, but I don't think so.
So you've left some little trail of breadcrumbs that's not quite picked up yet.
You can go on the site and read it. But I don't think he did anything crazy on the British Isles. He did most of his damage.
He came over and started chasing split tail.
Yeah, once he got to the States, he liked the life in the States. But he's another guy. The way he hits the ball.
His odds are crazy. He's like, it's like DJ, him. There's like four guys that are basically co-favorites, and he's one of the co-favorites.
Probably those two, Spieth and Rory, right?
Yeah. I don't even think Rory. I think Rory's like behind those guys.
Rory's always a betting favorite, though.
You know who I kind of like this week who hasn't won a major yet is Hideki.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's going to win a British at some point.
The whole wind kind of neutralizing the putting a little bit seems to play in his favor.
I think Hideki's going to win at Carnoustie.
Hmm. I like that.
They're at Carnoustie next year, I think.
What about Bryson this week?
Oh, I didn't even know Bryson had a passport. Yeah.
Bryson's game's kind of good for a British Open. He hits it really low.
I know. I'm saying.
Hits it good.
He's going to short circuit because he doesn't have enough data on the course.
I feel like
there's no shot link. There's no shot link at Birkdale. That's not going to help.
He can't feed Watson.
I feel like Fleetwood is getting just so much hype, and it's well deserved by his play, but it's gotten kind of outrageous levels where everybody's like listed him as a favorite.
So you know what kind of pisses me off is that's people not doing their homework, because Fleetwood, when we talked to him at the Players, I was like, oh, you're from Southport, England. Like, you must be really, really excited for the Open this year. And he's like, yeah, I'm pumped to go home, but like, I've never really played Hillside and Formby a lot, but I've never played Birkdale all that much. Like, it's kind of an unfamiliar course, just like it is to most of these young guys. So, two guys that I like a lot. And this is going to shock you.
Shock the world.
All right. Oosthuizen, first of all, 50 to 1. Threw some money on him just because I feel like I don't know. I mean, that guy's almost got, what, three majors?
I don't want to say this. I feel bad saying this because I love Louis. Love Louis. But Louis's deep in the Westwood game. He's turning into South African Westwood pretty quick.
But I don't think he cares, though. He doesn't care that much. So, and he's already won one.
So what do you think? It's just like the switch is going to flip this week? And like,
no, he just doesn't. It's just another tournament.
I don't know.
What about Paul Casey?
I mean,
he's so good.
I could bet on Paul Casey every.
But he's another one that, like, just, again, like, I love Casey and he does everything well. But like, what was the last thing that he won?
He hasn't won in forever.
Forever.
Like, I think, and, like, 2013. Anywhere. Like, yeah, it's been years.
Well, and just to climb back to where he was, to even getting his PGA Tour card back, I mean, yeah, that was a lot of energy right there. So the guy I was going to say earlier was Kuchar. Faraday picked him this week.
Oh, I would love that too.
He's 75-1. Faraday said he was just glowing about his ball flight, which I don't know if that's just like a kind of like a women's like a women's seven wood. Just, you know, it's a low.
He's going to swoop in and win the Ricoh British Women's British Open.
Weetabix.
Yeah.
Short.
No, yeah. I mean,
shorter course too.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like Kuchar plays well I don't even know where Kuchar plays well. I just he could backdoor this thing. That's all I'm
sure. Saying.
What about
the bad take?
Brian Harman.
Yeah, I know you're
I think the tank's a little bit low.
It's gotta be a
right
low.
Now.
Yeah. I expected him to play well this past week.
So outside of Rory, recent Open Championship winners have been really old guys. I mean, you got Stenson, Phil.
That's kind of like Cooch.
So that's something to keep in mind. I mean, I think that Lynx golf lends itself to more experience, and it's not as much of
a... I think especially this course versus, say, a... I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe... I think Carnoustie kind of comes down to a little bit more chance and luck and driving the ball well. But, like, this one's more, hey, just, like, take your medicine and get the ball out there 270, 280, and then go from there. And then Cooch, too. Like, I was blown away at how many – I think in every interview this week he referenced being – like, trying to prepare for the Open Championship more. And if you look at his – record in the Open Championship from say 2010 to now, he never did anything until like 2 years ago. And then he got T9 or something last year, and he's like, man, like, what can I do to prepare for this even better? Yeah. I'm gonna come over and play the Scottish Open. Like, I feel like this is the tournament, other than maybe Augusta, that he really wants to win for whatever reason. So I'm going to war for Kuchar. I put some money on him this week.
What about Phil? Fits a lot of the things we're talking about here.
I'll tell you who the
oldest. I think Phil's in his own head.
The older guys that I kind of think could be the ones that come through, Rose and Scott, because
I always forget about those two guys.
They're flying under the radar.
They always are. They're so good.
It's like I haven't heard much about Scott. I saw somewhere he's got more top tens and opens than anybody in the last like 8 years or something like that.
I was thinking about Scott just from a purely driving the ball, keeping him play. I mean, he's playing really, really well right now too. Mm-hmm. But just, I don't know, it just comes back to the putter. I have a tough time when I know there's going to be wind. I have a tough time picking guys that don't putt well. But maybe that's just my biases creeping in.
Yeah.
So Adam Scott, overrated, underrated?
A good segue.
Career wise.
Wow.
My computer battery's getting down there.
All right. I'd say Scott. Man. Underrated.
He might be the Mendoza line of overrated, underrated.
All right.
I think underrated because he was so good for so. Like, the consistency has me say underrated.
That's a good point.
I value consistency.
I agree with that.
But he might be a globalist. Switzerland, Bahamas, doesn't really have a home country anymore.
Citizen of the world.
Yeah.
He plays the world schedule.
Global elite.
We got a ton of stuff on Twitter here.
Plug your computer, DJ. Let's start bucking our heads.
Overrated, underrated from Carr for the course. Playing the Irish and or Scottish Open to prep for the Open.
Yeah, that's such a good question.
DJ, go for it.
Well, I'm trying to think about just the, like, the guys who've done it recently and the guys who've won. I'm going to say it's slightly overrated. I think it's a little overrated. I think it's just kind of like a fun thing. I think guys, I think people go through these trends, and honestly, I think it's more like writer driven than it is like player driven. I think like who chooses to like highlight these things,
looking
but
for
like,
narrative.
Yeah. And I think that like a couple years ago, if you remember, like it was all about, oh, he loves playing the week before a major.
I think it's dead even.
Ricky loves playing 3 weeks before a major.
Like guys that have played the week before at the Scottish Open, guys that have skipped the week before, and guys that have played the John Deere. I think it's like the last 9 or 10
years.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say it's overrated. I love it. I'm all in on. I love watching those guys. I didn't really watch it this year, but I'd love watching the guys go over and play. And I love having 2 weeks where you kind of get up early and watch golf with your coffee in the morning. But
shout out to NBC too.
Yeah,
they in Golf Channel, they killed it the last couple weeks.
But I'll say a little overrated.
I will say I think it's probably overrated as far as prep goes. Maybe playing both, but at the same time, I think it's underrated. I think more guys should do it just for the game and for just kind of. I feel like the guys that appreciate playing golf do it.
A fun time to go do it. It's like a bad spot in the schedule, also.
I mean, don't talk about the John Deere like that, bro. And it's something where I feel like the Euro Tour is on the right track with this Rolex series. I think they should, if I can go off on a little segue here, I think the governing bodies or the tour should do something to where, like, I personally think it's BS that there's not more guys playing in Australia every year. I know it's tough to get to, but there's guys going over and playing in the HSBC and the Dunlop Phoenix, and they're gonna have that PGA Tour event in Korea this year. Where if you're going all the way over to Australia to play, or to, you know, all the way over to Hong Kong or to Shanghai to play for a week or two, that's a 5 or 6 hour flight, maybe an 8 hour flight from Australia, but you can kind of skip up to Singapore and then from there. Like I think the schedule should be more segmented to allow for these guys to visit different parts of the world and do it for 3 weeks at a time and make it worth it. And the fact that there's only two events in Australia now versus three kind of makes me mad. And I think it's the same thing. Like the Irish Open almost died, five, six years ago. Like there was, you know, the economy was fluttering and all that. But I think the Euro Tour is on the right track with this Rolex thing. Mm-hmm. Just think they need to tighten it up a little bit. Turkey event out of there.
I think European Tour needs to become like the World Tour.
Yeah. So. Oh, it's definitely a misnomer.
Yeah. It needs to, and it needs to get Asia and Australia in on it, you know?
Like there should be a WGC in Australia every year.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree with that. It's probably one of the best golfing countries in the world, and it's tons of great golf courses,
and it's prime time golf. Like if you have a tournament there, you can put golf on from like 9 to 1 a.m. in the States have it on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or something like that, and it's like midweek prime time. You market it the right way. That's crazy ratings.
All right, we're getting back to the questions. Who gets more tour wins in their career, Wes Bryan or Bryson DeChambeau? From Mike Yost.
Ooh, I mean, I'm gonna stay consistent here and say Bryson. I think if you just look at like I mean, I know this isn't indicative of everything, but just look at, you know, I know you're like this too, Andy, but you always look at like how guys have played at every level. And usually that's the best indicator of kind of like just how they've always played against their peers. And I think, you know, Wes obviously is massively overachieving now in relation to what he did in college and what he did as an amateur and that kind of stuff.
Where probably just his all around game too.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, I think Bryson is head and shoulders above Wes.
Yeah, I agree. The thing I think is Wes is going to play at about 10 courses a year really well, like Harbortown, John
probably
Deere,
Sony,
yeah, Greenbrier. But Bryson, you probably wouldn't have picked Bryson to win at John Deere as like his place to win. He can win at any course. So just because of that, Bryson going to get more wins.
I think Bryson's also going to go through more
peaks and valleys
too. Yeah. Like I think he'll go through longer spells of, you know, kind of really bad results as well. Whereas Wes Bryan has kind of his strength is the putting, and that'll carry him through a little bit too.
All right, overrated, underrated from Oakley, Harrington's baseball swing during
that's underrated, man.
Underrated, I love it.
Yeah, I'm all in on it.
I'm in.
I love too. Just I'm in on all that stuff. I'm in on when he was doing like he used to do like a Happy Gilmore as like a legit part of his, you know, warm up. He was out there with like the straight jacket looking thing. He's out there with like with everything. I'm in on all of it.
I am too. I think Padraig's probably the most conflicting character for me, just in terms of. I don't know if I didn't appreciate him when he was winning all those majors or just didn't, I didn't know what to think. And then I've always been since he came out of the wilderness, Sergio, and all the anecdotes I hear about Sergio and Padraig where like Sergio just basically shitting all over Padraig and like almost making him cry. It was like, it just, that stuff made me sad to where I'm like, man, it questions my allegiance to Sergio because how could you be mean to Padraig Harrington?
Seems,
future Ryder Cup captain, future, you know. So, I mean, shit, how about Padraig maybe making a run for Ryder Cup?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're not talking about.
We Ryder should be Cup talking playing. About the President's Cup, huh?
There you go.
Yeah. I heard rumors that you might be placing a fatwa on the President's Cup.
Those are just rumors for now.
So if you were a young, budding professional, would you start out on the web or the Euro Tour? This is from Eric Nelson.
Man.
I think it all depends on resources, right?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's not cheap to play on the Euro Tour. Probably cheaper now than it was 3 or 4 years ago with the exchange rate. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if you're Peter Uihlein, I'm a huge Peter Uihlein fan, but you can fly around on the jet and go to all these nice places, then hell yeah. But, you know,
yeah,
I mean, if
I mean,
you're
like
grinding.
Brooks did it. I don't know what Brooks's background necessarily was, is like financially. I mean, I'm sure. You know, you get sponsor money and you're
but he was
kind
an
of
all America
future earnings and stuff.
I well, I, mean, I think it all just depends on your background.
Yeah.
This is you're a future star, you know. Say you're
but past success doesn't always dictate.
I mean, Uihlein's a good example of that actually, where like, you know, who has come out of college recently with more promise or more heat than Uihlein did? And I mean, it's taken him quite a while to kind of make good on a lot of that stuff. Actually, that's one of my favorite pods that Solly did. One of my favorite No Laying Up pods was with Peter Uihlein and just talking about how, like, you know, it almost seemed like it seems like a lot of times, like, the experience of playing the European Tour or playing the Challenge Tour or doing any of these things, like, kind of gets wasted on these guys a lot of the time. And Uihlein seemed like the total opposite, to where, like, he almost seemed like he cared too much about, like, taking in the culture and kind of, like,
I think that's my one thing with Koepka, to where I don't think Koepka would have won the U.S. Open if he in all things being equal, if he came up through the web.com tour and played, say, the Utah Championship instead of playing the Scottish Open last week, or playing, the Boise Albertsons Open instead of playing the Madeira Islands Open and learning how to play a firm and fast course. Like, I don't think the web tour stuff necessarily prepares you for being a world-class diverse player like playing over there does. Where, like, to me, when Koepka won at I'm not a huge Koepka fan, but when Koepka won at Erin Hills, the defining moment for me was when was that short par four.
When he laid up and made birdie.
When he laid up, made birdie, but and like stuffed that wedge in there, or that 9-iron or whatever he hit in there, and did it. Didn't try to overpower it, but knew mm-hmm. what his capabilities were, knew what the percentage plays were, and still executed it. Like, to me, most of the guys playing on the web tour would have just bombed a driver down there and then, you know, tried to get up and down from 70 yards. So, that's not a slight on the web tour. Like, I know the web tour, they'd like to play better courses. It's just a matter of tough. You know, there's just not a whole lot of places that want to host and give away their course for 2 weeks in the middle of prime season.
Yeah. I think I'd rather play the European Tour, but it's also a lot harder to make feasible financially.
Plus, if you have a family or, you know, if you have any sort of connection, if you have a serious long-term girlfriend and she's not, you know, caddying for you or what, like it's just totally different realities, you know? And if you have the wherewithal to do that, then go do it. No brainer, in my opinion.
So, Cav wants to know what's worse, Skechers or Blade collars?
Man, it's been a while since I've owned a pair of Skechers, I think.
A while?
Yeah.
I mean, how about Skechers going after Graham Delay?
I think I could make the Blade collar work for me better than the Skechers, I would say.
What about Skechers really going after a Graham Delay?
Right, that was aggressive.
It was brazen.
Brazen.
So here's my thing with Skechers, and we're putting Brooke Henderson aside here because she doesn't count, because I feel like she's like in Skechers captivity. Like they're holding her against her will. Nobody's ever won a major wearing Skechers. So if they want to play the whole nobody, you know,
could be Russell Knox this week.
Graham Delay's never worn he's never won a tour event. All right, cool. Nobody's ever won a major in Skechers. Which brings me to my next guy, Andy Kuchar, overrated, underrated.
We've done this one.
This was a question.
I feel like we've done this one.
But everything changes. It's constantly shifting.
As I said about Adam Scott, I value consistency.
Yeah.
I'm going underrated.
God, you're such a Midwesterner.
I'll say very, 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 very slightly underrated. I think he's pretty accurately rated. He's not even from the Midwest. What the hell are you guys talking about?
No, just in general, like you're just
just overly, underly.
He's just so American, and you're underly critical.
Yeah.
Here's a good question, Ben McNamara. Which Spaniard has the best chance at the Open?
That is a good question.
Mm.
I'm gonna say Rahm, just based on current form. Man, I don't know. That's a good question. There might be even money.
Is Pablo Larrazábal in the field?
I was gonna go with maybe.
Or Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño. I think he's probably playing in the Barbasol this week.
Pablo is in the field. I almost made him a sleeper. Okay. Yeah, I almost put him as a sleeper. He hasn't been playing well lately, though. Missed the cut this week, and I think the week before.
That seems to be the ticket, though. If you've missed the cut recently, you're probably going to win the next week. All right, Alex Noren, underrated, overrated. Shout out, Solly.
Are we talking about like where he's rated in the world rankings?
No, just in general, just in people's minds.
Oh man, he gets so much hype lately. He's almost overrated, but I am firmly in the belief of like he's won so much lately that he's underrated.
All right, that was a bad question. Can we talk about the qualifying? Just the field in general for the British Open.
There's a lot of so I watch a lot of golf. I follow a lot of golf. There's a lot of names in this field that I have not heard of before.
No, man.
It is like there is some swaths of this field that are pretty pretty Richard/Adam Bland, I would say.
You're talking about like Mike Lorenzo Vera?
Yeah.
All right, question.
Don't know a lot about Mike's career.
How did Maverick McNealy get in? I like Maverick McNealy.
He did something.
But I mean, there's a tie. Thai dude not named Kirdek Abibanrat or Tong Chai Jaidi that's in there. I'm assuming Castro got in because he made the FedEx Cup, like finals?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Lorenzo Vera.
Well, I think the biggest point that comes down to, you know, someone was texting us earlier today about it, about how, you know, Xander doesn't get in for a fifth place finish at the US Open, but ends up getting in, you know, for winning the Greenbrier based on like which is a worse field and all these things, and not even that, but like the guy
he would have come in, you know, if the guy he would have come finishes, in second or third at the Greenbrier, yeah, he still would have gotten in.
The guy who finishes eighth at the Greenbrier, yep, whatever it shook out to be that week, and I know Streb was a beneficiary of this as well, but that's a little shaky.
Hey, so McNealy got in because of the McCormick Medal, which is given to top ranked AM. So that's pretty legit, you know.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Hey, he played pretty well at John Deere.
I'm fine. Okay. Yeah. No. Like I'm fine with him getting in. I was just curious as to like, he didn't win the USA. Like I'm just thinking consistently of titles and all that. But
how did Giwon Kim get in?
I don't care to look up that.
All right, so here's something that kind of pisses me off. The US Open has that qualifier over in the British Isles, mm-hmm, to get into the US Open. Like it's like a sectional qualifier over there. The British Open has nothing like that on this side of the pond.
They don't? They don't have one here?
I don't think they have one here. Almost positive.
It's all done through the tour events. So
but there's a bunch more. Yeah, but I guess it bounces out.
And they've got a lot more spots with the qualifying series, but still. And I like the qualifying series. I think that's sweet. I think the fact that a guy can get in, but I do think there needs to be more emphasis placed on the U.S. Open. If you play well at the U.S. Open, you get into the British Open.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's some names in this field, man.
Top 10 of the U.S. Open should get you into the British Open. Like Trey Mullins
versus like top four. Yeah, like top four at the. You know, because this too is a very developmental experience. Like, if somebody gets into this tournament, that's invaluable for their career development. Mm-hmm. As far as, especially a guy like a Mullinax, who probably hasn't played a whole lot over in Europe. He's played Webb. He played college in the States. You know, he's not all that familiar with it. Like, this will challenge his game and help his game grow.
This is an interesting tidbit that a major champion told me at the U.S. Open. He said that the Open Championship is the easiest major to win of all the majors because of the draw. and the chance for the weather eliminating half the field.
Mm-hmm.
So the Open is the easiest major to win of any major.
I mean, I think if you look at, like, I was thinking about this earlier. I mean, the Masters has the worst field, obviously, of all the majors.
Well, it's not the worst field. It's the least.
It's small.
Yeah. But this is kind of like the strength of field here is like almost feels the same, except it's just kind of like 1.5 times bigger. And so, like, I don't know.
And then the PGA Championship overcompensates for having the tour or the
there's just no way in unless you're,
but they have the top 100
right
5 or 110 players in the world there, you know. So I mean it's still harder to win than any other, like, I think it's more impressive to win the British Open than it is to win a Players Championship, even though the players might have
statistically
twice as good of a field, just because it's just such a distinctly different.
I think the point about the draw is a good one. That, like, it is impressive that, like, I mean, the year Darren Clark won was like, I mean, it was like a, you know, statistical anomaly basically that year. I mean, it was just like there were so many dudes that just had literally like no chance.
That was a black swan.
It was.
Shout out the. What's that dude's name?
Larry David?
No.
That's how I was in the Funkhauser?
Marty Funkhauser. No, Talib Nassab or whatever. It's the Black Swan, dude.
Oh.
The book.
Deep pull. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. We're going in circles. What else you got?
That's it. We got more.
No, you got one or two more just colorful ones. All right,
we'll go quick ones, all right?
Let's get loose.
Yeah. All right, a couple people asked me about... Many are asking about Poulter's resurgence and the possibility of a Patrick Reed Poulter final match in a Ryder Cup. Who wins?
Where is it? You're talking about this next Ryder Cup in France?
France, yeah.
I think Patrick Reed might have a seizure in France. So Reed and Rahm are paired together this week.
Oh my gosh.
Which could be...
There could be a homicide.
Potentially lit, right?
Yeah.
There was another question about how many strokes will Captain America Pat Reed miss the top 10 by?
Oof. I don't think... Like, the guy, he's incapable of hitting a left-to-right ball. And there's certain holes at Birkdale where you have to hit it left to right. So
I wish there was betting that you could short people, like you could, you know, short stocks. Like, I wish you could bet on the world golf rankings.
It sounds like you just need to pool more resources.
Yeah, and then you can just open a market,
just bet everybody else besides the guys that you're shorting.
That's a good point.
This sounds like a business opportunity though. Is what I'm hearing.
It does. Let's see, what else do we got here?
I did think, so Kurt Byram probably said this three times this weekend. He was like, man, Ian Poulter is playing better because he feels like the deck is stacked against him again. Like, he's got something, he's got a chip on his shoulder again, he's not comfortable anymore, he's playing for something. I feel like Patrick Reed's kind of that same way.
Yeah,
we're like, it's like, I feel like we need to just revoke Patrick Reed's tour card and just be like, hey man, you got to earn your way back on. Like, he'd probably just start killing it.
Give me your badge and gun.
Too much good press. You should never have gone on Faraday. So
that was good press.
Yeah, that's a good point. I had an interesting one here. I lost it though. Oh, here. I just love this comment from Tucker Blankenship. Blankenship. Yeah, Blankenship. When McRib misses another cut Friday, what's the percentage chance of Johnny bringing back the tight shirt theory on its 1-year anniversary?
Probably 60%. Yeah. And then adding in a little blade collar dig in there.
Well, it depends what the weather's doing. It could be a tight sweater.
I did see Rory. So Rory's scripting called for a sweater. No, sorry, that was JT's scripting.
I was going to say, last thing, let's talk about JT's. shirt and tie.
I'm reserving judgment until I see it.
Yeah, I think that's responsible. It's a responsible take.
It's just, I don't know. Like, that was strictly meant for Golf Digest to be like, oh my God, you're not going to believe what JT is wearing on Thursday.
I don't know. I'm with you. Let's reserve judgment. But Polo does a good job, man. I'm sure it'll look good.
People are forgetting Ryan Moore. Yeah. Ryan Moore was this guy 5 years ago.
Shout out Jay Rigdon.
I love Ryan Moore.
Yeah, he's ahead of the curve.
Oh yeah.
Ryan Moore, overrated, underrated.
Underrated.
Underrated, right?
Yeah. Underrated. He hasn't played very well this year though.
He's been hurt.
Andy, do you have the Illinois amateur coming up?
Tomorrow? Yeah.
As you're listening to this,
yeah. Why are you
Andy's
not
in, grinding?
Why are you not in bed right now, man?
I'm in a late. I got a late tea time. I'm at like 1:40.
You in the TV window?
Featured pairing, you know.
Who's your featured pairing? Who are you with?
I'm playing with this kid that plays at Miami of Ohio. He's supposed to be a good player.
Wow! Shout out, Tron's alma mater.
Big Randy, Solly.
Almost won last year before Nick Hardy blew everybody out to sea in the final two rounds.
Are you playing with Ben Curtis?
No, unfortunately.
He's Kent State.
Oh, bro. Kent State, sorry.
Yeah. All right, last take. Nick Hardy, overrated, underrated? Career-wise, are you going with Nick Hardy or
DJ D-Funk?
Put him on the spot.
He knows Illini Nation's listening to the podcast.
He's starting to just
squirm,
twist and turn this seat right now. Yeah.
Seat's
getting a little hot.
Myers had a better amateur career, but I like Hardy because he's got a gas pedal. He shot 28 under in our state am last year over four rounds, which is just insanity anywhere. It wasn't a hard course.
What did you shoot?
I shot plus four for my two rounds.
Yeah.
I think I was going to keep it within 40 shots if I made the cut.
So you beat you by an amateur.
You're going to finish the race.
But
did they play that at Calumet?
No, it was at St. Charles. Easy track, but... I say,
he's going to diminish Hardy. He's going to pump him up, and now he's going to tear him down.
It was slow. It was soft. You know, it was set up for.
How many did you win by?
He won by 10. He beat TK Kelly by 10, who just won a Narcos Tour event.
And, shout out TK up at Thunder Bay, Ontario, last weekend.
Yeah,
playing the McKenzie Tour.
He missed. TK is a 2-time state champ, too. State Am champ. So,
many people are saying that TK is coming on the Trap Draw podcast this week.
Wow. I'm surprised you guys haven't lost the password to get in there. But your password hasn't expired to try to upload a new podcast.
Fake news DJ.
So I'm going Hardy. He's made a cut at US Open.
All right. One more. Sorry. One more. Maverick McNealy or Patrick Rogers? For the rest of their careers, from here on out,
from this moment,
man.
I'm gonna take Patrick Rogers.
Can I take Tiger?
only if I can take No Top.
That's what I was just gonna say, Maverick McNealy or No Top.
I'll take Big Mav. I'm worried about Big Mav getting bored after about three or four years.
Me too. Totally.
I'm worried about Big Mav getting ejected after about 9 months and then being like, "Oh, this wasn't the plan anyway. I'm gonna go be a businessman," which is fine. But
I'm worried about Big Mav coming on the mid-am circuit and just vaporizing everybody.
Oh man, yeah. That'd be great.
We already got
shout out Slenderman Stu Hagstad.
Stu's already doing that, you know. We don't need another one.
Yeah, he's like the new and improved version of Stu.
Yeah, so
travel size Stu.
Is that it? We done?
That's it.
That's it.
All right, so Tron, you got Spieth. DJ, you have DJ.
I'm gonna take Spieth too.
No. All right, I'm going off Spieth. I got Ricky.
Okay.
I got.
We'll double take Spieth.
I got Sergio.
I mean, we don't have to take different guys. It's okay.
Nah, I was
contrarian.
Ricky was the plan all along.
Great bluff.
All right. Well, we'll catch up sometime. Enjoy the early morning golf. You guys gonna what's your telecast schedule? When are you getting up?
I'll probably get up about 3, I think. Is usually my. You guys don't do that?
I don't know. I mean,
I might go to Sinatti's. What's Sinatti's opens at 6 or 5?
Yeah.
Go to Sinatti's, get some key lime donuts, make some coffee.
Yeah. I'll catch bits and pieces on Thursday, try to get everything done, and then just absolutely binge my face off on Friday.
I was in LA last year for it.
It's tough.
Awful.
You got to commit tough. One way or the other.
Yeah, you either have to stay awake all. I ended up like half-assing it, missing like 4 hours right in the middle, and waking up and watching the rest.
Stinks.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy.
All right, man. See you, dude.
See ya.
See ya.